that sin has been dealt with. It means that on the cross, when Christ died, he dealt with the penalty of sin. He dealt with the power of sin. He dealt with the presence of sin. He has dealt with the penalty of sin. That's why Paul can write, because of the death of Jesus on the cross, Romans 8 verse 1, there is now, not tomorrow, there is now, not just in heaven, there is now, today, no condemnation for those who are in the beautiful one, Christ Jesus. That is good news for everyone who realizes that, like me, you are a sinner. The penalty for sin has been paid in full. Not just that, but the power of sin through Jesus' death was broken once and for all. That means when you are fighting against sin in this life as a believer, you are fighting against a broken enemy. You are fighting against a defeated enemy. And you and I as believers can expect and walk into ever-increasing freedom from the power of sin in our lives. Until when? Until one day, the Bible says, the gospel declares, Paul says, that one day my Savior Jesus is coming back. And he's not going to be a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. The scriptures say he's going to come on the clouds, and with him will come a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And on that day, all who trust in his name will be free from the presence of sin, fully, finally, and forever. Sunday, at least once a year if we can, and we try and do three things. We have Vision Sundays for three important reasons. The first reason is to give thanks to God for what he has done and for his goodness over the recent months. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be doing this Sunday and today. The second reason that we have Vision Sundays is to help keep us focused on what God has called us to. Martin Luther King once said that our scientific accomplishments have outstripped our spiritual accomplishments. And then he lamented, in this day and age, we have guided missiles and misguided men. And I would add to that, misguided churches. And we don't want you to be misguided in 2024. So we want to stay focused on what God has called us to do. The third reason we have Vision Sundays is to inform those of you who are new something of the story so far and something of the story ahead. So even though it's a Vision Sunday, I think of vision as being like driving. You're driving a car. There's a big windscreen so you can look forward. But there's also a rear view mirror and two side view mirrors because it's helpful to look back from time to time. So we're going to start this Vision Sunday. Here's the plans. We're going to talk about where we're coming from. And then we're going to talk about where are we going? Where do we want to get to? And we're going to end by talking about why it's important. And that's what we're going to do this week. And then next week, Cephas is going to be doing the second of our two Vision Sundays. And he's going to be explaining to us, what does it look like when we get there? How do we know that we've arrived? And actually, what do we need to do? Concrete steps to get there. So that's a bit of an overview of the next two Sundays, these Vision Sundays. But first up, where are we coming from? Well, in 2022, we rearticulated our vision, our mission as a church. One Tribe exists to multiply gospel-centered, spirit-empowered, missional churches in Nairobi and beyond. Last week, the first meeting was not very awake, but the second was. This week, you're not quite there yet. So, don't worry. We'll find ways of involving you. We brought that to the church in January 2022, and for those of you who are there, you may remember that we actually came up with a dance for our vision. It's called the Mission Macarena, and we're going to do it again this morning because I think you need a little bit of to get the blood flowing. And so I wonder whether Dennis and Joe, you could come and help me up here with your dance skills. Come up quickly so that we can get going. All right, it's not a suggestion. It's I'm calling it forth from you, Joe. Where's Dennis? Is Dennis around? Not, he's hiding. Precious, please come on up. Give Precious a hand as she comes up. She's going to give us a hand. Okay, here's how it goes. Okay, number one, multiplying. Here's the sign. Gospel-centered is kind of like the center of you. You go here, okay? Spirit-empowered, double biceps pose. Bam, bam. Missional, we want to be going somewhere. So it's there and there. Where are we going to do this? Left hand in Nairobi. Right hand and beyond. It's the Macarena. So you got to go. Hey, Macarena. And then you're all going to go that way, okay? Don't be going that way. You're going that way. Okay. Everyone got it? Go through it one more time. Now you got to do it one hand at a time because it's the Macarena. Okay. So, yeah, let's stand up. Get ready to go. One practice run. Trying gospel centers, spirit empowered, missional churches, Nairobi and beyond. Hey, here we go. Multiplying gospel centers, spirit empowered, missional churches, Nairobi. I can't hear you. Hey, Macarena. Multiplying gospel centers, spirit empowered, missional churches, Nairobi and beyond. Hey, Macarena. Multiplying gospel centers, spirit empowered, missional churches, Nairobi. Come on, Ruth. Hey, last time, here we go. Multiplying gospel centered, spirit empowered, missional churches, Nairobi. Beyond. Hey, give yourself a hand. Well done. All right, that's just to help you remember that we are focused as a church. What gets us up in the morning? It's multiplying gospel-centered, spirit-empowered, missional churches in Nairobi and beyond. I'm just going to break that down over the next few minutes as we look back. Number one, we want to be a multiplying church. Because we want to be a multiplying church, on the 24th of September 2023, we made a decision to multiply from one Sunday morning meeting to two Sunday morning meetings. Why? Because we were multiplying people and we wanted to create more room for more people to hear the gospel, to be empowered by the Spirit, and to be caught up in the mission of what God is doing. When we started talking about it in the middle of the year, we weren't even sure, as staff and leaders, that it was even possible. And it wasn't easy. This was a step that required courage, faith, and a measure of sacrifice from every single one of us. Talking about sacrifice, actually, one of the things that encouraged us towards this was a prophetic sermon that someone preached about the widow giving her very last to God's purposes, all that she had. And God made sure that that was enough. And so I want to acknowledge that faith, that sacrifice that each one of you made. And One Tribe, by God's grace, we got it done. And as a leadership team, we want to say to you, One Tribe, thank you. And One Tribe, well done. We did that to create space for more people to hear the gospel, be empowered by the Spirit, and get caught up in God's mission. To see what that looks like, we're going to look at some numbers this morning. I know some of you hated maths in school. I know some of you feel that numbers are unspiritual. I would tend to agree with you if there wasn't a whole book of the Bible called. So we're going to talk about a few numbers this morning. It's not about the numbers, but they can help us. So we said, okay, we did this to create room for more people to hear the gospel, be filled with the Spirit, encounter the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and get caught up in God's mission. How are we doing? Well, we took the period from September the 24th until today. We said, okay, if that's our baseline, how does that compare to 12 months before, that same three-month period from September to December, and how does that compare with the 3 months before September 24th, so kind of July through to September? The yellow line is 2022, the last quarter. That was our attendance. The red line is the third quarter of 2023, so the 3 months before September the 24th. The blue line is our combined Sunday attendance from September the 24th, when we multiplied into two meetings, up until the last Sunday of the year. And so what that represents, if you do the numbers, is on average, we have 20% more people every Sunday who are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ here and who are encountering God's presence and God's Spirit here and who are getting caught up in a mission and caught up in a family. That's a good thing. We can give thanks to God for that. We are a multiplying people. We didn't make it up. We got it from Scripture. Now, in my notes, I wrote, I don't anticipate us multiplying meetings again in 2024. But looking around this morning and at the 9 a.m. meeting, I'm not making any promises. Let me just say it's not planned unless God does something wonderful. But we would love to multiply leaders. We'd love to see a multiplication of elders, a multiplication of deacons and deaconesses, because that's part of how God builds his church. And so that's something that we want to invite you to be prayerful about as we pray about, hey, God, would you bring through so we can appoint some more elders over the coming months and some more deacons and deaconesses. And so that is a multiplying church. We want to be a multiplying people. The next thing is gospel-centered. We're going to spend the second half of this morning talking about that. And then there's spirit-empowered. Spirit-empowered, we can't do this in our own strength. Some people think when people talk about the Spirit, that's those proud people who think they can make the Holy Spirit do whatever they want him to do. No, we're not. We are those weak people who have no power outside of the Holy Spirit, and so we can't do the mission Jesus has called us to do without the Holy Spirit, so we'd better be spirit-empowered. And so, as often as we can a year, last year was just once, we gather people to talk about, when we talk about being empowered by the Spirit, what does it mean? What does it look like? And we call that event Thirst. And at Thirst in July 2023, we had 30 people come through that, which was wonderful. And that's just how we want to see people just brought into more and more of what God has for us in terms of the things of the Spirit. That's why we are fasting. As Jesse has explained, we're on this 21-day fast. And if you haven't joined in yet, feel free to. It's never too late to get involved in the fun. But there are a few things that we want you to have on your radar for this year that I'm just kind of flagging up there for you. And one of them is we are going to be having a Spirit-empowered church camp. That's the theme of Spirit Empowered, from the 8th to the 10th of November at Brackenhurst Conference Center. It's booked. We've got we're going to be hosting it as one tribe. We're inviting other churches from within Kenya. We're inviting other advanced churches from across the continent to come together because we think it's going to be a really significant weekend, and we don't want you to miss out. And while we're going to be hosting, it's going to be led by dear friends of ours from a church in Bedford outside London called the King's Arms. And most of the teaching is going to be done. He's going to bring a team with him, but Phil Wilthie is a dear friend of ours who we've known for years. And we've been trying to set this up with Phil since, I think since about 2018. We've been trying to work this out in diaries and this, and it's finally come together. And it's going to be a special time. So I encourage you, please diarize that. It might mean moving some things around, but I think, in fact, I'm confident that it'll be worth it. So please have that on your radar. Multiplying, gospel-centered, spirit-empowered, missional churches. God has called us to be a missional church. We didn't make this up. We got it from Scripture. Acts 2, verse 47, the Bible says that the Lord added to their number. Who does the adding? Not me, not you, but it's something that God does. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What's God's plan for every person on planet Earth is that they would be saved, and after being saved, they'd be added to something. That something is the local church, and you saw that happening before your very eyes this morning. And so we want to see people saved. We want to see people added to the church. And this is an area where we can grow so much in so many ways, but to let you know some of what's happening, because you can lose track in a church of some of the things that are going on. In 2022, we did some evangelistic stuff. We had an evangelism catalyst on the staff team for a number of months who did some trainings and things like that, but over 2022 and 2023, they counted that they saw 114 salvations around Nairobi, some of them at KIST. And a lot of that was using a tool called Jesus at the Door. And I'm thinking it might be a good idea to do a training on that again. 114 people respond to the gospel. 8 precious people baptized. And that's something we can be praying for. God, would you give us more baptisms? Would you give us more salvations? We want to see more people saved. We want to see more people coming through to baptism and into the fullness of what God has for them. But each one of those is precious. And then I can't talk about what God has been doing without talking to you about TikTok. How many of you have heard about TikTok? Not sure? Everybody's talking about what China's doing on TikTok. I want to talk to you about what God is doing on TikTok. Over the last 12 months, I've never seen this before. There was a time when TikTok was not, and I was there, and now there's TikTok. This year, we've had 150,000 views on TikTok. We've had 16,000 likes. We've had 50 visitors come to church on a Sunday saying, "We heard about One Tribe through TikTok." Can you think of a better use of TikTok on the planet? I think that that's awesome, and it's one of the things that God is doing. Here's the deal. When we hear these numbers, some of us can tune out. When we hear graphs, Michelle, if you could go back to that graph for us, we can think, oh man, is this church becoming all about the numbers? And sometimes we can depersonalize these things, and Tash was helpful yesterday when we were talking about this. So if it's helpful to you, thank Tash. If it's not helpful, it means that I didn't tell you things the way Tash told me, because when she said it, it was very helpful. There is a gap between where we were before September 2023 and after we multiplied to two meetings. There is a gap. And that gap represents people who we didn't have room for before September 2024, and we now do have room, 2023, sorry, and who we now have room for. And I want you to understand that at one point, every one of you in this room was in that gap. This church started with 15 people, 9 adults, 6 adults, 9 children. And man, it was comfortable. But God spoke to us about this gap. And we said, okay, let's open it up to everyone who wants to come. And God filled that. And man, it was comfortable in Togoni. The grass is green, the sun shining sometimes. One of the advanced global team, his name is Rigby, I'm going to quote him a couple of times this morning. He preached a message during the course of our church's history that was simply called, "Make the Circle Bigger." So in Togoni, we said we've got to make the circle bigger. So January 2017, we moved from Togoni to right here at Dasbuy and Y to make the circle bigger and to make room for you. And now that there is room for you, do you know what? We want to be a church that keeps on making the circle bigger. Do you understand? Because you were once in that gap, and there are people who are still in that gap, and they matter to God, so they have to matter to us. That's why that gap is important. So we want to be a missional church, and we want to keep on making opportunities where you can easily invite people along to church. And just to highlight two of those coming up in February, we're going to be doing a four-part series on work and career. And at the first Sunday, the outset of that series, we're going to be having an office challenge. This is going to be fantastic. Some of you were there last time. We called it Office Olympics. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock service. But from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we're not going to stand around eating chai and mandazi. We're going to have some potent, high fun, high energy competitions that the team that you bring from your workplace can compete in. It'll be fun and stand a chance to win some incredible prizes. When we did this a few years ago, something similar, the whole Sunday was absolutely phenomenal. And each one of you has a work life. Whatever you do with most of your hours that's useful from Monday to Friday, it might be people you meet in the office. It might be people who you work virtually with around the city and you never see them. It might be people in the hospital. It might be people who you study together with. If you are a full-time mum, it might be mothers who you meet at the school drop-off or you find at the gym. You can put together a team of 6 to 10 people. Come along. There'll be online sign-ups. It's going to be great. Last year, some teams did their own T-shirts, and just helps the spirit in the workplace. But it's just a great way of drawing people in to what? Hear the gospel, experience the spirit, and get caught up in the mission that God has called us to. So that's the office challenge, and that's the first Sunday of February. So have that on your radars. Please start thinking about that. Start praying about that. And then the second thing I want you to have on your radars in September 2024, we're going to be doing a series called The Gospel and the African. And there's a lot of talk about Christianity and Africa and what does that mean. And so in September, we want to take that bull by the horns and speak directly into that. And we think it's going to be They're helpful to people who you bring along. Guests are welcome every Sunday. We hope they'll enjoy every Sunday. But February and September in particular, we just wanted you to have a heads up about what's happening. Right, multiplying. Gospel-centered, Spirit-empowered, missional churches. Where? And beyond. If your responses are not quick enough, I'm going to make you do the dance again. Okay, so stay on your toes. In Nairobi and beyond. This is on our hearts, and there are many expressions of this. One of those is a mini-series that we did last year, towards the end of the year, called Church is Spelt Sent. And as a church, we carry a sense that God wants us to be a part of reaching unreached people groups all around Nairobi, all around Kenya. And we're leaning into that. We started doing a couple of things with the Somali background believers, and it's exciting what God is doing. But one of the ways that we serve in Nairobi and beyond is by serving other churches. The plan for the extension of God's kingdom is for churches to be planted. When churches have been planted, like One Tribe was planted in 2017, for those churches to be strengthened often by other churches. And so that's one of the ways we engage with the Nairobi and beyond. In 2023, we sent individuals or teams to Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, to Madagascar and Antananarivo, to South Africa, Cape Town and Johannesburg, to serve and strengthen other churches. Tash and I were in South Africa for a few days and for a weekend. We spent a weekend with their churches in the Western Cape, the advanced churches, gathered about 70 people, all in the age group 18 to 28. They call it the decision decade down there. And we just spoke to them about church planting and about putting Jesus first in the decision decade of your life. And it was a joy to be a part of strengthening those churches. And then we sent a team down to the Advanced Africa Conference in Johannesburg to serve and strengthen the churches there as leaders gathered from around the continent. And Damaris and James and Deritu were in the band, and they led a couple of cross-cultural sessions. Man, it lifted the gaze of that conference, which can be very South African because there's so many South African churches. They just loved having their gaze lifted to see, man, we're not just a South African group of churches, but man, this is an Africa conference. And Damaris and the team brought so much of that. And then, on the last full day of the conference, our very own Cephas got up to preach. And he got up wearing a Maasai blanket. And he preached on prayer from James chapter 5. And if you weren't there, you've got to know that that message, it went off in that room like a hand grenade. People were stunned with a sense of the presence of God and of the urgency of prayer. And that was just such a privilege to be able to help churches like that by sending people like that. Now in 2024, we've got to send teams again to South Africa and to Tanzania. We've also got to send teams to Uganda. There are 27 churches in Uganda that have said they need our help. We also, for the first time, One Tribe, we need to go to the DRC. We need to get into Goma. There's a family that came here for a couple of years. They were in One Tribe. They relocated to Goma. They landed in Goma. And since then, they've been saying Goma desperately needs a church like One Tribe. And so they've started meeting on a Sunday mornings. They've got a life group on Sundays. And we want to help them. We want to strengthen them to see a healthy church established in the great city of Goma. Now listen, God wants you to be a part of that. Some of that is just by doing church life here and serving and all kinds of things, playing keyboard so we can worship together. Someone came to me afterwards, I love this initiative. Someone heard there was a birthday party. Someone came to me and said, hey, please can I bake the birthday cake for One Tribe's 7th birthday party? And I said, One Tribe don't like cake. Please, you just go somewhere else. No, I didn't. I said, man, we would love that. So it's going to be on the 28th because the 21st... Well, we're breaking the fast, aren't we? On the 28th. Okay, thank you. All right, God help. You know, I dreamt about meat last Sunday night. God is helping us. So, church, that's Nairobi and beyond. But you can't do that if you haven't got a passport. And so if you're a One Tribe without a passport, I want to encourage you to get ready for wherever God may be sending you next. And some of you are thinking, aye, that means going to Nyayo House. And if you're scared of Nyayo House, is Rose still here? I can't see Rose. Rose is at the back over there. If you're scared of Nyayo House, go ask Rose for her testimony about her passport and Nyayo House, a miracle from God, corruption free. You can speak to Rose. Okay, that's Nairobi and beyond. That's looking back. Listen, team, we got We've got some stuff to get through, so I need you tracking with me. That's where we're coming from. Where are we going? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, can everyone say remind? You of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Can everyone say first importance? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. Here's the big idea for 2024. Remember, I'm just going to tell you where we're headed and why do we want to get there. Next week is how do we know we've gotten there and how do we get there? The big idea for 2024 is that we want to put, when that mission multiplying gospel centered spirit and power of missional church in Nairobi and beyond, we want to put some heat over the next 12 months under that statement, gospel centered. So if you want to put it in one word, our mission, our vision for 2024, whatever you want to call it, is centered. Centered on what? Centered on the gospel. What is the gospel? And what does it mean to be gospel-centered? What is the gospel? The gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means good news, or as I like to translate it, beautiful news. The gospel is beautiful and the gospel is news. What is beautiful about it? What's beautiful about this gospel? Well, it's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, that Christ died for our sins. It's beautiful that Christ died. I remember being 6 years old in primary school. It was Easter time. We arrived at school around Easter time, and there were yellow footprints all around the school where, I kid you not, the Easter bunny had come himself to deliver Easter eggs. And there was celebration, there was fun, and there was eggs. But I remember at 6 years old walking up to my second grade teacher and asking for an explanation about why, if Christ was a good man, and on that Friday Christ died, how can that be a good thing? How can that be a beautiful thing? And I can remember my second grade teacher explaining to me that it was a good thing because not just he died, but he died for our sins. And that word sin unpacks a whole world. Let me put it to you this way. Every tear that you've ever cried, every sickness you've ever battled, every relational breakdown you've ever experienced or contributed to, every addiction, every stronghold in this world, like poverty, like racism, all has its roots in that word, sin. And the Bible says that's a big list of problems, and there could only ever be one possible solution. That was for the only one who was ever truly beautiful, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, to come from the beauty of heaven and to step down and walk through the ugliness of earth for 33 years. And after 33 years of living, by the way, through that ugliness, tempted like you and I in every single way, yet without sin. But he died an ugly death, a sinner's death on the cross, and he was buried for our sins. And he didn't stay buried. The Bible says after 3 days in the tomb, he rose again as proof that sin had been dealt with once and forever. What does it mean that sin has been dealt with? It means that on the cross, when Christ died, he dealt with the penalty of sin. He dealt with the power of sin. He dealt with the presence of sin. He has dealt with the penalty of sin. That's why Paul can write, because of the death of Jesus on the cross, Romans 8 verse 1, there is now, not tomorrow, there is now, not just in heaven, there is now, today, no condemnation for those who are in the beautiful one, Christ Jesus. That is good news for everyone who realizes that, like me, you are a sinner. The penalty for sin has been paid in full. Not just that, but the power of sin through Jesus' death was broken once and for all. That means when you are fighting against sin in this life as a believer, you are fighting against a broken enemy. You are fighting against a defeated enemy. And you and I as believers can expect and walk into ever-increasing freedom from the power of sin in our lives. Until when? Until one day the Bible says, the gospel declares, Paul says, that one day my Savior Jesus is coming back. And he's not going to be a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, but the scriptures say he's going to come on the clouds, and with him will come a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And on that day, all who trust in his name will be free from the presence of sin, fully, finally, and forever. That's the beautiful news. But what makes it beautiful is that that penalty that has been paid, that power that can be that has been broken, that presence from which one day we will be free, all of that is made available to you and I absolutely for free. If it was by works, if we had to earn that by our good behavior, that would not be beautiful news. What is beautiful about it is that Paul says it's by faith. He says, I hope you've believed my gospel. What are the implications of this? Let me put this to you in a couple of ways. The first is this. If someone were to ask you to explain what a Christian is, how would you answer them? In fact, let me change that. We'll come to that in a second. Let me put this question to you. Years from now, perhaps you die. You go and stand before Jesus, the righteous judge. He opens the door of heaven for you. As he does that, Archangel Gabriel comes running and says, hang on a second, sir. Nainante, perhaps, ma'am. Why should we let you into heaven? How would you answer that, angel? Why should we let you into heaven? I want us to think, how would you answer that? You know the answer. You know the bouncer. If your answer begins with the words, because I, you're on shaky ground. Because no one gets into heaven because I. The only way into, Jesus said, I am the way. The only way into heaven is because he died on a cross for my sins. That is why I can walk into the gates of paradise. I love it. We were singing that this morning. We sung, why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Do you understand? If someone were to ask you, what is the fundamental difference between Christianity and every other religion? What is Christianity about? You should explain it to them this way. And if you are not sure where you are on your spiritual journey, you're here wondering, what's this Christianity thing about? I want you to understand this. Every other religion is spelled D-O. Too many people think Christianity is spelled D-O, that it's about what you do. You pray, you fast, you attend church, you're generous, you're kind, and so on. But that is not the gospel. The gospel is not spelled D-O. Christianity is not spelled D-O. The gospel and Christianity, the good news, is spelled D-O-N-E, because it's not about what we do, it's about what Christ has done already for us on the cross and through his resurrection. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. I hope that you're starting to get something of a sense of it's beautiful. And if you're not, don't worry, we've got a year to get this. And after that year, we're not going to stop getting it. We're going to keep on getting it. But this is our focus. It's beautiful and it is news. The gospel, and I want you to understand this morning, the gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. What's the difference? Martin Lloyd-Jones preached a sermon decades ago on 1 Corinthians 15, and I found this explanation on the Gospel Coalition website. He said that good advice is counsel that someone gives you about something that hasn't been done yet, but that you can do. News is about something that has already been done. And you can't do it because it's been done already. The only thing that you can do is respond to it. So he says, imagine there is a king. This king is fighting an enemy army. They win the battle. When the battle's won, the king sends messengers back to the capital city. And those messengers, those good newsers, they say, hey, listen, everybody, it's been done. The enemy has been defeated. Now you can respond to that by living in the good of the peace that has already been won for you. If the king does not win the battle, he sends back to the capital city military advisors. What is their message? We need marksmen over here, earth mounds over there, siege defenses over here, we need archers over there. City, we're going to have to fight for our lives. And Martin Lloyd-Jones' point was this. Every other religion sends military advisors. Do this, try that, this to get enlightenment, this ritual, this exercise, this way. These are things that you've got to do. It's only Christianity that doesn't send military advisors, but sends heralds, sends carriers of good news, saying the war has already been done. The war has already been won. Isn't that helpfully clarifying? Thanks to Martin Lloyd-Jones and Tim Keller for that excellent example. So I hope you're getting a sense for what is the gospel. It's beautiful and it's news. It's not advice. Now, what does it mean to be gospel-centered? On Monday, Alice bought a parrot. It didn't talk. So the next day, she returned to the pet store. He needs a ladder, she was told. She bought a ladder. But another day passed, and the parrot still didn't say a word. How about a swing? The clerk suggested. So Alice bought a swing. The next day, a mirror. The next day, a miniature plastic tree. The next day, a shiny parrot toy. On Sunday morning, Alice was standing outside the pet store. As it opened, she had the parrot cage in her hand and tears in her eyes. Her parrot was dead. Did it ever say a word? The store owner asked. Yes, Alice said through her sobs. Right before he died, he looked at me and asked, "Don't they sell any food in the pet store?" Just as no amount of parrot cage amenities can make up for a lack of parrot food, nothing can replace the gospel in a Christian's life. Without it, our souls will become like Alice's pet, starving in a crowded cage. It's from C.J. Mahaney's book, The Cross-Centered Life. Team, you've done so well this morning. You've covered most of the ground. But in terms of what does it mean to be gospel-centered, I just want to draw out three things as briefly as but as effectively as I can this morning. Then we're going to get up and we're going to sing together. The band's going to lead us. To be gospel-centered, we've heard about the gospel. We center ourselves on the gospel by receiving the gospel, reminding one another and ourselves of the gospel, and keeping it of first importance. Paul says, that gospel that I preached to you that you received, we need to be people who receive the gospel and receive the gospel for ourselves. If you've ever been on an airplane, when you are buckled in, the air hostess gets up and she says words to the effect of, in the unlikely event of an emergency, what's going to happen? Oxygen masks are going to come down. And then they give this word of advice, even if you are with a minor, they say, make sure that your own oxygen mask is firmly in place before trying to help someone else. Now, here's the thing about the gospel. We can quickly become people who think, the gospel, that's the thing that other people need. We're going to help them with that as a church. The gospel, that's the thing that other churches need. We're going to help other churches with that, forgetting that the gospel is something that we need right here, right now. And team, I'm preaching this to myself. Yesterday, I was reading a book called Leadership, called Lead. Where is it? It's over here. Great book by Paul David Tripp. Lead, it gives 12 gospel principles for leadership in the church. I was reading it on a Saturday. It was a relaxed day. And then this hit me between the eyes. He said, the gospel tells you that no matter how long you have known the Lord, or no matter how successful you have been in His work, you need His grace right now, as much as you did the first moment you believed. So man, I need to be receiving the gospel now, today. We need to receive it. Get your own oxygen mask on and make sure it's firmly in place. That's not the advice you give people in the drug world, I'm told. Drug dealers are told, don't get high on your own supply. When I was in medical school, we had the Minister of Health of Zimbabwe where I did my medical schooling. And he came to address us as fourth year or final year medical students. And he lectured and he lectured. And then after a while, he briefly addressed a conundrum, a socioeconomic and a public health conundrum. Because on the one hand, Zimbabwe's greatest export earner was and is tobacco. But there are not many things as bad for your health, Minister of Health, as tobacco. And so standing there, Dr. Timothy Stamps gave us his resolution of that conundrum in five words. When it comes to tobacco, grow it, don't smoke it. Well, friends, let it not be so with the gospel. Paul said, having preached to others, may I not myself be disqualified. I want you to know I'm sniffing this stuff before I give it to you. I want you to know that. If you see me on a Sunday morning and it looks like I'm a little bit hyper, know that I've been taking some of the good stuff before I give it to you. Why? Because I need it. I need it. It's not far away, folks. As a movement of churches, we've just come out of a rough 2 years. Church challenges, major leadership challenges. In the midst of that, one of the global team members, his name is Rigby Wallace, he preached a message. And the essence of the message was this. There are two frontiers of the gospel. The outermost ends of the earth and the innermost depths of our heart. And oh, you might have come here as an overseas missionary. And if that's you, welcome. But please, don't forget that the gospel works on two frontiers. There's gospel work to be done on the outermost ends of the earth with unreached people groups in northern Kenya. But equally important is there is gospel work to be done on the frontier of the innermost depths of our hearts. Oh, and I can tell you now, that is very true for Mbonisi Malava. And as a leadership, we're bringing to you that it's true for us as individuals. The two frontiers of the gospel. Or, if you want to put it in Martin Luther's words, we receive the gospel. We don't just receive the gospel. But Paul said, I want to remind you of the gospel. This blows my mind. I don't know how many sermons I've preached in my life. Tash, what's your guess? 400, 500, I don't know. And this poor lady has sat through the majority of them. Would you give her a hand? She's just... Stay focused. Sometimes as a preacher, you're like, man, I've been asked to preach at this place or this conference, and you think, what am I going to bring to them? And you want to bring something new and fresh, maybe something they haven't heard before. You laugh. When you go to a conference, that's what you're wanting, Michelle. But Paul, he writes a letter. He says to the Corinthians, hey guys, do you remember that gospel I preached to you in AD 51? They say yes. He's like, the one you received, they say yes. He says, yes, that one. I want to remind you of that same gospel. At the end of his ministry, Paul has his sights set on getting to Rome. Rome for him represents the ends of the earth. That is the capital of the world at that time. From Rome, when the gospel takes root there, it can spread everywhere. And wonderfully, a church has emerged in Rome. There are believers in Rome. That's why Paul could write a letter to the believers in. And when he writes them, he says, I can't wait to be with you. I long to be with you. And he says to them, do you know what I'm going to preach when I come? And Will said, I know. Paul's going to unlock the fifth dimension. Then Jeanette said, I heard he's got a message on spiritual jujitsu. And Halima says, I heard that he's got a message on four steps to an irrevocable blessing. And Sarah said that he's going to preach on double for my trouble. And Paul said, when I come to you, believers in Rome, I want to preach the gospel to you. Because I don't know how long your church has been going. I don't know what's going on there, but I do know that the one thing that you need from me more than anything else when I get to you is the gospel. And so we remind one another of this. In Martin Luther's words, I love this quote. This quote, I think it's worth the price of admission. He says, I must listen to the gospel, which teaches me not what I ought to do, for that is the proper role of the law. But the gospel teaches me what Christ, the Son of God, has done for me. It's news that he suffered and died to deliver me from sin and death. The gospel calls me to receive this. And to believe it, not by works. And this is the truth of the gospel. It is also the principal article of all Christian doctrine, wherein the knowledge of all godliness consists. And I love his application. Most necessary it is, therefore, that we should know this article well. And that is what we are praying for One Tribe, that by December 31st, 2024, we would know this article well and teach it to others. And Martin Luther says, and beat it into their heads continually. I love that. And team, I want to be in a church like that. Can someone give me a Bible? We found an awesome one in the first meeting. Okay, Jesse, hold on to that for a second. I need leather-bound, ideally, and the bigger the bit. That one over there, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. In the words of Crocodile Dundee, this is not a Bible. This is a Bible. It's only if you're like old like me. Martin Luther said, we need to take this gospel and beat it into, and please do this for me. This is why I love our life group. I got there 8 p.m. or quarter to 8 p.m. No, it was quarter to 9, wasn't it? It's quarter to 9 p.m. I've just arrived back from the hospital, long day. And we're on Zoom for our life group, and I join in. And I love it because in that life group, my brothers and sisters from Nyari Life Group are beating the gospel into my head again. And I need that. And I'm tired from a long day's work, and someone's asking questions about the fast. Someone else, they've got a young baby, is struggling to stay awake. But we all love it. Why? Because we need to be reminded. My favorite songwriter, he's called Andrew Peterson, and he writes a song about marriage called Dancing Through the Minefields. And it's just this wonderful, honest, raw song about what it's like to be married. And then the bridge, it's him singing to his wife, but it could be one Christian friend singing to any other Christian friend. And he says this, he says, so when I lose my way, please find me. And when I lose love's chains, please bind me. And the line that gets me every time, at the end of all my faith, to the end of all my days, when I forget my name, remind me. And friends, we need to be reminded of the gospel daily. Can you imagine a church where we are, every time we meet one another, reminding one another of the gospel? Someone here needs to be reminded today, right now, that you are not alone. Jesus Christ himself has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He cried on the cross, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you would never have to cry that. You need to remember that this morning. Someone else needs to remember that you are not what they said about you. You're not what they think about you. You're not defined by that. You're defined by what God says about you. And his gospel says that you're a sinner, more sinful than you ever realized, but that you're more loved than you ever dared hope. And you have been rescued by Jesus Christ. And really, at the end of the day, and for all eternity, that is all that is going to matter. Someone needs to be reminded that you are not that sin. You're not defined by that sin that you can't get loose of. Someone needs to know that that sin that is racking you with guilt right now in your heart, that doesn't define you. What defines you is what Jesus did for you on the cross. And we remind one another of these things. All around Nairobi, there are Christians who've forgotten their name, forgotten their identity. What do they need? One tribe. Remind them. And finally, Daniel Damaris, thank you. You've been on the ball this morning, served us magnificently. Could we give them a hand? And Precious and Davey and Ryan, they're just absolute rock stars. And finally, here's why this is important and why you need to come back next week. This gospel, Paul says, is of first importance. I want you to get that. We did this exercise as a staff team. I'm not going to share the answers with you. It's embarrassing. But as a staff team this last Friday, we said, if someone were to ask you what is of first importance at One Tribe, how would you answer? There's only one correct answer according to the Apostle Paul, because team, only one thing can be of first importance, and that's the gospel. That's why as an eldership team, we are persuaded there is nothing we need to attend to more urgently in 2024 than centering ourselves on the gospel, checking that our own oxygen mask is in place, and then reminding ourselves and one another of that which alone is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Now, some of you might be thinking, but that's pretty simple. Christ died. I'm forgiven. Can we move on? Let me be clear on this. Tim Keller said the gospel is not just the A, B, C of the Christian life. It's the A to Z. The gospel is not just the way you enter the kingdom, but it is the way to address every problem and is the way to grow at every step. In his messages on the Gospel Coalition, Tim Keller explains everything from eating disorders to racism comes back to the gospel. And too often as believers, we treat the gospel like a door. I believe the gospel. All right, I'm in. Now what's next? Friends, the gospel isn't the door. The gospel is the room that we step into as believers. And we've got to walk around and find the instruments and read the books, all of which are centered on the gospel, and get up paintings on the walls. It's all about the gospel. That's why Paul said, when I come to Rome, I'm going to preach to you the gospel. That's Paul at the end of his ministry. He has only one message, one weapon, one boast, one first and last line of defense. The good news that Jesus died for our sins. May the same be said about you. May the same be said about me. And may the same be said about us.